Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show here on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, November the 21st, 2014. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today by my guest co-host, Farah Nazarali. Hi, Farah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. And thanks for coming on the show today. And we also have our control room tech trainee, Amir Ali.
Hello.
Who is here on the controls today. Thank you so much for being here today, too. I'm just grateful to have you both here today because all of our regular people are gone today. Welcome, everyone, and happy World Vegan Month. Animal Voices is Western Canada's only radio program dedicated to animal advocacy and compassionate living, broadcasting live every Friday from noon till 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and bringing you interviews, commentary, news, and events that you need to keep up to date on what's happening both locally and abroad. In addition to our live broadcast here on 100.5 FM and at coopradio.org, our shows are also available as podcasts on iTunes and at animalvoices.org after airing. On today's program, we have two interviews for you that are very relevant for what's happening with the animals here in Canada right now. Our first interview will be with Victoria activist Jordan Reichardt, who comes to us today from the groups Island Animal Liberation and The Critical Cat. So if you've ever traveled to our beautiful provincial capital of Victoria, BC, you'll be familiar with many of the tourist sites there and things that you can do as a visitor to the city. One of these traditional activities concerns the use of horses, and that is taking a ride around the harborfront in the horse-drawn carriages. Activists in Victoria want to see this longtime industry banned, and they are holding a public rally in Victoria tomorrow to speak up for the exploitation of the horses. Jordan is one of the organizers of this event tomorrow, and he will be speaking to us about it and the issues of concern for the horses used in this industry. And for our feature interview, we will have Aviva Vetter on the show. She is the head of a campaign run by Humane Society International and the Animal Alliance of Canada called Be Cruelty Free, which is calling for an end to the testing of animals for cosmetics in Canada. And this campaign is running on a global scale as well. But Aviva is here to speak to us today about the issues of animal testing for cosmetics in Canada and will explain to us what the testing entails, why there is no need for it, and the goal of the campaign to end cosmetic testing of animals in Canada. That interview is coming up in about 32 minutes, so please do stay tuned for that. So Farah, last week we had a civic election here in Vancouver. Tell us what happened.
We did, and Vision Vancouver won, and Gregor Robertson is again our mayor. But unfortunately, with the Parks Board, there was a shift in the balance of power, and the newly elected Parks Board Commissioner, John Cooper, he's from the NPA, and now the NPA has a majority on the Parks Board, which doesn't look good for the cetacean breeding ban, which is the ban on breeding whales, dolphins, and porpoises. And unfortunately, not only is it not a good outlook in terms of the current Parks Board Commissioner, the newly coming Parks Board Commissioner and the board, but also the Vision Park Board Chair, Aaron Jasper, recently told the Georgia Strait that they are not going to recommend that the Park Board vote on the city staff report that advises a breeding ban. So it looks like Vision Vancouver is getting off of that bandwagon, and it's really disappointing.
And the NPA have already declared that they are going to be overturning this ban that is in place right now. So it's really bad news for the animals, I know. But you have some better news for the animals, right? And something that's happening in Victoria.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things is you know, people often say, you know, seeing dolphins or seeing whales is such a magical experience, especially for children. Mm-hmm. And indeed, it's true. But I think more than seeing them in captivity is seeing them in the wild. And there is a really incredible alternative. Ocean Walls is a Canadian exhibit which debuted on November 8th, and it opens a window to the Pacific Ocean without having to bring animals into captivity, and allows us to see them in the wild. And what they're doing, it's a digital interactive medium that can pop up in public places like shopping malls and give us a window into seeing animals in the wild. And I think that's such a positive experience that children can take rather than seeing them Yeah. In small spaces.
We were talking about this a little bit before the show, saying that often the argument for having animals, these animals in captivity is, well, it's the only way that children can see these animals and learn about them, albeit they're in jail, they're in their whale jails, but wouldn't it be better to see them in their actual natural environments? And this is what this exhibit's doing.
Absolutely. You know, I've always, when I've gone to zoos or aquariums, I always feel such a sense of sadness because I see the animals and they clearly are not in their natural state. And clearly you can see signs of depression and signs of abuse and signs of suffering. And on the other hand, you know, I had the opportunity to see a pod of whales when I was on Pender Island a couple years ago, and it was such an incredible and magical experience. And when I think of the difference between those two experiences, I think people really need to see animals in the wild.
Perhaps too that they don't have this juxtaposition to compare with because they haven't seen that. And once you have, you just can't go back, I think.
Absolutely. It's such a limited way of thinking that it's either having them in captivity or not having them at all. Well, it's possible for us to have a vision into wildlife without seeing them behind in close, small spaces.
And you're not even really seeing them exhibiting their natural behaviors when you are seeing them in aquariums or wherever you're seeing them. So, yeah,
you're seeing exactly the opposite, as we found out from the film Blackfish, right?
That's right. So even for scientific purposes, I think it's much better to study animals in the wild in their natural homes. Mm-hmm.
Well, moving on, we have a little bit of a fun thing here. Do you want to be featured in a vegan music video, Farah?
Well, that sounds like fun.
Okay, so this is a friend of mine, Jonathan Skinner. He is an animal activist who used to live in Vancouver, and he just recently moved to LA a few months ago for his work for Mercy for Animals. And he has produced a song sung by a singer called Emily Grove called I Don't Eat Meat Anymore. And it's he's calling it the latest vegan dance hit. And it's actually a parody of Ariana Grande's song Break Free. So if you're curious, we're going to be playing it at the end of the show today so that you can hear what that's all about. It's a very catchy tune. So what he wants to do is he wants to create a music video where you will be, anyone's open to doing this. You can film yourself or your vegan friends singing, dancing, or just having fun along to the song. And he asks that you film it in HD and you do it somewhere interesting, such as a roller skating rink. Do those even exist?
I don't think so.
I don't know where he came up with that. A nightclub, sure. A theme park or a famous landmark. And the idea is to show just everyone how much fun it is to be vegan, and bonus points if the word vegan is visible at some point in the video. So he's going to you'll send your submissions along to him. The address is rollervegan@gmail.com. And then they'll tell you how to upload your video. The submission deadline is November 30th. And I guess with all these submissions, they're going to choose the ones that they want to use for this music video. That's going to be a compilation of all of these submissions. So on the Facebook event here, it says, now go and have fun. So if you are interested in this, I have a link to this Facebook event on our website, animalvoices.org, for the show notes for today. So you can check that out, and yeah, maybe you'll see yourself in a music video. And then stay tuned for the very end of the show too, where we'll be playing this song.
You are listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM CFRO Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I'm Farah, and I'm here to tell you about some of the events that we have for this week's show. There is a horse-drawn carriage protest that's happening in Victoria on Saturday, November 22nd from noon to 3. So that's happening in Victoria this Saturday. In response to the success of the horse carriage industry taking place in Victoria, the group Island Animal Liberation has scheduled a protest against the oppression and exploitation of these animals. There'll be a sign-making get-together beforehand, and extra signs will be made available if you show up. So details about the location are posted soon, but for now, to keep updated, you can search for the event Horse-Drawn Carriage Protest on Facebook. And I think probably Allison and will mention a little bit more during her interview with Gordon. And that's happening this weekend. So hopefully you can make it out there. Also, Liberation BC has a weekly chicken vigil. This is happening also on Saturday from noon to 2. It's in front of the Hallmark Poultry Processing Plant, which is at the intersection of Commercial Drive and Hastings Street in Vancouver. So for those of you who are familiar with Co-op Radio, just a few blocks down. For those of you who don't know what the weekly chicken vigils are, there are three main purposes. One is to bear witness to the suffering of the chickens in the slaughterhouse. And I used to live very close to that intersection, and I can say that indeed it is really tragic and sad to see the kind of suffering that the animals go through. They are in extremely small cages. There's hundreds of thousands of them confined. The smell is horrible, and it's really horrific conditions. So it's to bear witness to that suffering, to raise awareness of the existence of the slaughterhouse, and to end that suffering that goes on inside of those walls. Many people aren't even aware of this processing plant, that it exists, unless you live in the neighborhood and you're aware of the fact from the smell, or you sometimes see remains of limbs of chickens. Most people in Vancouver don't know. So it's also to raise awareness that we have a slaughterhouse, chicken slaughterhouse here in Vancouver. And the third is to give the public an opportunity to do further research on where their food comes from and to get more involved in helping the animals. So for more information about this event, you can email info@liberationbc.org. And there's another chicken vigil that's happening in the Lower Mainland out in Surrey. It's happening from 1 to 3. It's organized by the group Animal Freedom. It's being held at the Sunrise Poultry Processing Plant. And the people are going to meet at 73rd A Avenue in King George. And for more information, you can contact Kim at animalfreedombc@hotmail.com.
That's tomorrow too, right?
That's right. Yeah. They're both happening tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There's an open meeting for Direct Action Everywhere in Vancouver. That's happening next Saturday, the 29th at 7, 186 20th in Vancouver. For those of you who don't know, Direct Action Everywhere, also known as DXE, is a movement that strives to empower activists to take strong and confident action wherever animals are being denigrated, enslaved, or killed, and to create a world where animal liberation is a reality. The event is open to everyone, and if you've never participated or you're a longtime activist, you can join. They're having a movie screening and discussion, and they'll be celebrating their one-year anniversary. So snacks and cake will be provided, and you must RSVP so they know how many snacks and how much cake to have available. And that information is on their Facebook page, Direct Action Everywhere. And if you have an animal-friendly event you'd like to have broadcast on air, please send us an email at radio@animalvoices.org or post it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver.
Well, thank you so much for that, Farah. Being that it's your very first time here on Animal Voices, I have to say you have a wonderful radio voice, but you have a little bit of experience in the radio, don't you?
I do have experience in hosting Drishti Point, which is a show about yoga and spirituality.
Give us a plug. Where can you hear it?
You can go to drishtipoint.ca. So it's drishtipoint.ca. And we're all about a worldview based on ahimsa, which is nonviolence. So having reverence for all of life and a yoga path and that's rooted in that.
Well, thank you so much for that. For our first interview today, we have Jordan Reichart from the groups Island Animal Liberation and the Critical Cat to speak with us today about the issue of the horse-drawn carriage industry in our province's capital of Victoria, BC. He is co-organizing a protest tomorrow to protest what he calls the oppression and exploitation of these animals, and he's here today to tell us about that and why animal activists in Victoria want this industry to end. So thanks for coming on the show today, Jordan, to speak with us about the horse-drawn carriage issue in Victoria. For those who have visited Victoria, BC, they'll know that it's a huge tourist-driven city with the Parliament buildings, the Butchart Gardens, the old English motifs, and with that, the horse-drawn carriages that people can hire to take them for a ride on the beautiful harbourfront of Victoria. So getting right to the point, can you please tell us about some of the issues of concern for the horse's welfare when it comes to using them in the horse-drawn carriage industry?
Yes, thanks, Allison, for having me on the show today. I'm really grateful to be here and grateful for the work you do. Some of our primary concerns with the horse-drawn carriage is definitely the traffic is one of them, which has on numerous occasions caused the horses to be spooked, either by clipping the horses or by their loud noise, angry drivers zipping by because they're stuck behind them. Or otherwise. Furthermore, the horses have to breathe in the exhaust fumes, which we all know is bad for our own health. Certainly being a cyclist in the city, it bothers me just as much as I'm sure it bothers the horses if they're heading the thick of it day after day. We also have heard many reports of horses breaking free from their carriages and running onto other people's property through the city streets in some of the smaller neighborhoods around the city center. This is always a danger to both the horses, drivers, and residents, as their actions are unpredictable, and these are large animals, so it can really injure somebody and can be difficult to get them back under control. There appears to be at least one major incident a year with the carriages, and it really seems like pure luck that nobody's been seriously injured or killed yet. And we feel there is an unnecessary risk that the horse carriage businesses and the city, by allowing them to continue to exist, are putting the public and the horses at risk. I think it is quite clear to most people that the streets are no place for a horse, and then add on that the expectation that they're supposed to, that they should work long hours under stressful conditions, and you have a recipe for disaster.
Right, and we've seen this happen in New York City as well, where they're hoping to implement a ban there. How do you feel that the city of Victoria cares for the horses? They say, you know, I've been doing my research on the internet here, and they say that they have sufficient bylaws in place to look out for the horses. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I did talk to Erica Paul yesterday. She is the senior animal protection officer for the SPCA. And we talked a little bit about the bylaws and such as they currently, or the regulations that currently exist. This is a bit of a tricky question, especially with the mayor and council currently on board. Certainly some of the councillors have expressed concern about the horses' welfare, which resulted in them working with the BCSPCA several years ago to create guidelines for the horses' care. But there's not been a sustained effort by council to ban them. The city and the carriage businesses continue to hide behind the BCSPCA's guidelines, which establish care expectations for the horses, such as things like inspection of stables, veterinarian checkups, spacing, feeding, those kind of things. This has not addressed some of our primary concerns, though, which are that the horses are forced to work in stressful conditions on the city streets, must walk on pavement for hours, which is hard on their bodies, and are clearly vulnerable to injury, as is apparent from the accident that takes place. On this matter, I feel the city has failed to be a leader, and I'm concerned with the election of our current mayor, Lisa Helps, who, in a recent interview I did with her on video just before the election, said she felt the horses were like any other type of workers, although she did somewhat correct yourself after I commented other workers in the city aren't forced to work against their will.
So what needs to happen in order for the horse-drawn carriage industry in Victoria to be banned? I understand there has been a call for bylaws to change, but what would this entail?
Well, certainly public pressure is a huge part of that. In the past, in enacting of bylaws in the city around the horse carriages, there was a decrease in the number of horse carriage operations in the city due to the demands of the bylaws on them. There's currently two operating here still in the downtown core. Some cities have created bylaws with very high expectations of care, which effectively did create a ban by causing those businesses to fold. And I think that's, you know, when the city first considered this, they did consider banning them outright and decided to go with regulations instead. But I'm not sure regulations are the place to start on this issue. I think that what we are seeing is a common trend amongst animal use industries, and it's present in the horse-drawn carriage industry, is that if the SPCA has loopholes in their position statements that allow a particular practice to be sustained, then the city and businesses will cling to that like glue. we have engaged with the BCSCCA at this point to develop a specific position statement that will address the horse-drawn carriage issue. Right now, it currently falls under the animal use in recreation, sport, and entertainment. And if they can say outright that they don't support the practice, it makes moving forward much easier when we go to the city and try to challenge this and say, you know, it's time to ban this. And of course, when we engage with the public, we can also say that we have the, you know, the BCSCCA is also supporting a ban. If they do support it, however, with regulations like they do now, then it is about proving that the industry does not meet those minimum standards. And this is much more difficult in a lot of ways because for the BCSCCA alone, when talking with Erica Paul yesterday, she mentioned that, you know, they need to have a veterinarian say that there's something specifically at issue with that causes distress for the horses when they're in the streets. And so far, they've had a hard time getting a veterinarian to actually address that specific issue and say that there's something distressful or that it causes them discomfort or pain in those situations. So without that, they're very hesitant to move forward with a position statement. Of course, you know, beyond those kind of things and pushing the SPCA, of course, continuing to push the city, continuing to show the city that people don't support the horses. Furthermore, what we need is, I think, just bodies in the street for demonstrations so the media picks up the stories and keeps it in the public eye. That's going to be one of the most powerful things, keep it in the news. There's always lots of interest in the horse-drawn carriages, and talk comes up around when there's an accident, but it seems like it's going to be a matter of time before a serious accident happens, and we'd like to avoid that, avoid it getting that far. We'd like to see the horse-drawn carriages banned before that.
Of course. But I think, you know, seeing the horse-drawn carriages in Victoria, it's what many people, I think, find to be part of the charm of the city. And what would you say to the people who want to uphold the tradition and so-called romanticism of the carriages? What could be offered as an alternative? For example, I know that a vintage electric car has been proposed in New York City, and I think I read something about that maybe happening on the island as well.
Yes, many people seem to be enamored with the carriages or see it as a Victorian legacy that gives them a sense of nostalgia. People often will say, well, it's tradition, it's how things have been done for a long time. And there's a common response to people that is often used, I think, in those situations that, you know, slavery used to be acceptable, and now, and this is a form of slavery, but now it is considered deviant, although it still exists in many places. So when we think about, you know, how to approach and how to engage with other people, I think alternatives are really important in providing other options. I believe that it's difficult for people to make the connection that there is something wrong with the carriages because we don't see the horses being beaten in the streets or see them as under distress until there is an accident. And this is why not arguing with them, but providing an alternative vision of what Victoria would be like without them there is a much more agreeable approach. Imagine less traffic problems, less smell from the manure on the road, less potential safety concerns, as well as mentioning something that can be just as nice aesthetically as the electric carriage alternative, which is something that in other cities is being definitely considered. And while people are receptive to this, because the industry has a deeply rooted equine culture attached to it, unless an electric carriage company moves in as an alternative that can take money away from those industries, from those businesses, Tally Ho and Victoria's Carriage Tours, and hurt their bottom line, it's hard to imagine them packing up shop as long as the profits continue for them.
Okay, so we have about a minute left here, and I just wanted to, before we leave, have you just go over the details again very quickly of tomorrow's protest. And you've already said that your intentions for this is to really just get it out in the media and to get people talking about it, which I think is great. So how can people take part in this if they want to?
Definitely. So Yes, we're going to meet at the corner of Menzies and Belleville Street by the Inner Harbor in downtown Victoria. It's just across from the street from the Parliament Building. We'll have lots of signs on hand for people to carry and encourage people to bring their own as well. People can RSVP for the event on the Island Animal Liberation Facebook page, and which is horse-drawn carriage demonstration. And they can keep up with more demonstrations and get involved as well on the criticalcat.com and the Victoria Horse-Drawn Carriage Resistance. We will be having activists joining us from Vancouver for this week and encourage people. You know, we just want to bring it back into the public eye, send a strong message to the new mayor and council that this is an important issue in Victoria and needs to be addressed with a ban. And we hope the media will continue to bring this issue to people to consider and for them to show support for a ban to the SPCA and the city.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today, Jordan, to speak about the issues regarding the horse-drawn carriage industry in Victoria, BC, and the protest against this practice that you have planned for tomorrow. To find out more about the protest, you can find the Facebook event link on our website on the post for today's show at animalvoices.org. Thanks for the work you're doing, Jordan, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you, Alison. Take care.
Take care. So you are listening to the Animal Voices show here on 100.5 FM CFRO in Vancouver, Canada. And I've got some news. Are you ready for some news, Farah?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's hear what's happening.
Okay. So in Bangkok, this happened. An elephant trampled its handler to death and ran off with two Russian tourists. Mother and her 9-year-old daughter, who were riding him during a trek in southern Thailand, police said on Monday. Rescue teams tracked down the elephant about 3 kilometers away and tranquilized him to rescue the tourist clinging to his back. And it took almost 3 hours for the elephant to calm down completely. They had to tie him to a tree. He said that the animal began attacking the 60-year-old handler about 15 minutes after the start of what was supposed to be a scenic ride for the tourists near a waterfall in the city of, I hope I'm saying this right, Phang Nga. And the handler's crushed body was found in a creek. He said that the male elephant had never attacked anyone since he began working for a tourist company 2 years ago, adding that the animal was in must a state of aggressive sexual excitement. So what do you think about this?
Oh, this is just such a perfect example of why we shouldn't be using animals for our entertainment and mm-hmm. for our pleasure, especially in cases where animals, it's not in their nature. They're not designed to be our toys, you know, and it's such a cruel way to take them away from their natural surroundings and their natural way of living and exploit them just for our own pleasure. There are so many ways that we can visit other countries and enjoy and appreciate the scenery and the things that they have around, but I don't think using animals is one of them. And I think a great example of why we shouldn't use animals for our own mm-hmm. pleasure and purpose.
And the thing about elephants is that they will fight back. There's been numerous incidents of elephants in captivity that have they have killed people. They stomp on people. They don't care. They have enough of it. And then they just don't want to put up with it anymore. And because they're such large animals, they actually do have that physical capability to fight back, unlike most other animals, right?
Yeah. And, you know, on the other hand, elephants, I think when they're in an environment that speaks to their safety and speaks to their comfort, they are incredibly sweet, endearing, creatures that develop relationships with other animals. Like I am connected with the elephant sanctuary in Tennessee, and they have a story of an elephant and its friendship with a dog. And it's beautiful.
Bella and Tara.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. Absolutely.
Isn't it? So it's just an example that we're bringing out the worst in these creatures. And why don't we find a way to bring out the best and allow them to live in their natural environments?
Yeah, just like you were saying before with the marine animals, right?
That's
it's sort of a common theme to today's show. So I do have another story from here, which is quite a bit happier, and I'm actually quite excited about it. So the latest project from actors and animal lovers Jane Lynch and Hilary Swank is going to the dogs, literally. The pair is set to host the Fox's Cause for Paws, an all-star dog spectacular on Thanksgiving night, which is on American Thanksgiving night, I should say, on November the 27th. And this aims to find homes This is going to aim to find homes for rescue dogs by Black Friday, which I believe is later that week. I'm not too sure about that. The two-hour program will feature an array of stars, including Scarlett Johansson, Miranda Lambert, Kristen Bell, Paula Abdul, Betty White, among others, as well as viral videos, a fundraiser, and even hand out awards in categories such as cutest puppy, best celebrity dog lookalike, guiltiest dog, best liquor. I know a few dogs who could win that prize. Smartest dog and best viral dog video.
Oh, this sounds like fun. Yeah. What a great idea.
Hillary Swank told Entertainment Tonight, I've always been an animal lover, and to me, this is a great opportunity to celebrate dogs and the immense joy that they bring to our lives. The event will also highlight testimonies from celebrities on the positive impact that having a rescue dog has made to their family, no doubt. Lynch will mention her Dalmatian mix, Francis, the rescue dog she adopted in 2011. So that's happening on November the 27th, and I'm actually going to find a use for my TV that night, I think, because I don't watch TV. So that's all we have for today's news, and hopefully we've got our phone connected. Okay, so for our feature interview today, we have Aviva Vetter of the Humane Society International on the show. She is the Canada campaigner for HSI for Be Cruelty Free, which is a global campaign to end animal testing for cosmetics. Today, she is here to speak with us about the Canada campaign and what we need to know about cosmetic testing on animals in our country. Hello, Aviva, and welcome to the Animal Voices radio show.
Thanks very much.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today to talk to us about the Be Cruelty Free campaign to end cosmetic testing in Canada. To start, can you please tell us about the regulations regarding cosmetic testing in Canada? What is required according to government standards for testing cosmetics in Canada? And is there a requirement to use animals in the process?
Yes, of course. Well, animal testing for cosmetics is regulated federally by the Food and Drugs Act, as well as the cosmetic regulations. Neither piece of legislation specifically requires animal testing to demonstrate the safety of cosmetics. This is why our campaign is not only timely, but very important. Canada is a world leader, so it's time to ban animal testing for cosmetics, not only to fall in line with the trend that is sweeping the world, but to also avoid being shut out of markets that have already banned animal testing for cosmetics, like the European Union. So basically what we're asking the government to do is to amend the Food and Drugs Act, as well as the cosmetic regulations, which would prohibit new animal testing for cosmetic products or their ingredients, and also prohibit the manufacture and sale of cosmetic newly tested on animals or containing newly animal-tested ingredients.
And can you talk about how the regulations that we have in Canada are different than or similar to other nations in the world? For example, I know that testing is actually still legal in 80% of countries. However, there are countries, large nations, that have actually banned testing already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's something I think a lot about, too. That percentage is high. Canada, though, should fall into that 20%. Because Canada, basically, we should be a leader. And Canadians actually agree. In fact, recent polling has shown that 81% of Canadians support a nationwide ban. And so far, actually, we've collected close to 70,000 signatures across the country. And on top of that, earlier this year, we actually, our Be Cruelty-Free campaigners went coast to coast to connect with Canadians about the issue. And you know what? Most people had no idea that cosmetics cruelty is still permitted in Canada.
Right.
And actually, you know,
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, as far as China is concerned, you know, that's the only country in the world that still requires animal testing for cosmetics. But we've really made progress there as well. And as of June, animal testing for cosmetics is no longer required for domestic products in China. And we've played an instrumental role in this change.
So basically, there's going to be no countries anywhere that requires cosmetic testing on animals. And of course, there are still many cosmetic companies that do test on animals, and many of them are very mainstream companies and the larger brands that you'll see in the drugstores. So according to what you know, why are they still doing this testing on their products to be sold in Canada if they don't have to?
Well, this can happen for two reasons. There's a view that innovation requires the creation or use of new chemicals, which are invariably subject to new animal testing on behalf of the cosmetic manufacturer, or more commonly by the specialty chemical producer itself. The other reason is an ambition to break into emerging cosmetic markets such as China, which may require new animal testing to meet the requirements of national authorities, because it is still, so anything that comes out of China is still, has to still be tested mandatorily.
But that's being phased out, so it would seem...
No, only domestic, only in the country. Yeah,
I did know that, actually. Can you describe to us some of the tests on animals for cosmetics that are happening currently for cosmetics sold in Canada?
For sure. So although they're not required by law in Canada, several tests are commonly performed by exposing mice, rats, rabbits, and guinea pigs to cosmetic ingredients. This can include skin and eye irritation tests where chemicals are rubbed onto the shaved skin or dripped into the eyes of restrained rabbits without any pain relief. Another would be repeated force feeding studies lasting weeks or months to look for signs of general illness or specific health hazards such as cancer or birth defects. And, of course, the widely condemned lethal dose test, in which animals are forced to swallow large amounts of test chemical to determine the dose that causes death. And at the end of the test, the animals are killed, normally by asphyxiation, neck breaking, or decapitation. And pain relief is never provided to animals on the basis that it could interfere with test results.
I think Canadians would be very surprised to hear all that. It just seems like such such archaic practices that don't need to happen. So why? What can you talk to us about some of the alternatives to animal testing that manufacturers can use to ensure safety on cosmetics?
Sure. Well, animal tests are increasingly being replaced by quicker, cheaper, and more reliable non-animal methods. For example, 3D model skin models such as Epiderm, made from donated human skin after surgery, have been shown to better predict skin irritation in humans than the cruel rabbit test they replace. Proven non-animal methods are also available for eye irritation, skin allergy, and other safety tests. But safe existing ingredients are also key. Hundreds of companies, including Lush and Lippy Girl, have sworn off animal testing, yet still produce safe and fabulous beauty products. They do so by choosing from among more than 5,000 widely available raw ingredients that have been tested in the past. And they do this instead of purchasing newly developed chemicals that will have been newly animal tested. The safety of new product formulations made up from well-known existing cosmetic ingredients can also be assured using available non-animal testing methods. And not testing on animals is a great image to have, really. And it should be something a company wants to fight for. It makes good sense for business and for animal compassion.
Absolutely. And I just feel that testing on animals for anything is, like I was saying, like it's so, it just feels to me like it's so backward. And you've already mentioned why using other methods are just more superior, right? Like it just, it doesn't make sense to me as to why any cosmetic tests are being done on animals, especially for something that's for our vanity. And it's not even like, and the testing is so unnecessary. So you've already told us a little bit about the Be Cruelty Free campaign, and it's being run on a global scale as far as I know. Could you talk a little bit more about the different prongs of the campaign that you are utilizing to put animal testing on cosmetics to an end in Canada?
Sure. Of course. Well, the various aspects of our campaign include changing law to ban animal testing for cosmetics products and the ingredients, to end the sale of newly animal-tested beauty products from other parts of the world. Public support is also key, as well as corporate support is also key to making this law a reality. The government needs to see that Canadians want this and that it makes good business sense. Another aspect is promoting modern science, championing the development of new non-animal tests and training regulators and companies in their use. Another aspect is educating consumers. That's key, raising awareness about animal testing and how to shop cruelty-free using the Leaping Bunny Guide. Working with companies to help them move away from animal testing and partnering with cruelty-free companies to lobby for change. And, of course, building an unstoppable national campaign backed by the public, top companies, politicians, and our celebrity friends like Paul McCartney, Ricky Gervais, Phoebe Dykstra, Emmanuel Vaugier, Kristen Bauer from True Blood, and many more.
Yeah, I've noticed that you actually have a lot of celebrity figures that are supporting, putting your support behind this. I'm a bit curious about learning more about how you are working with companies and what has that been like? Like, what is the process there where you approach a company and you say, we don't want you to test on animals because of this. Can you please do it this way instead? Is that how it works?
Well, yeah, there are various ways, but we work directly with companies such as Unilever, for example, or Procter & Gamble. To advance science and find common ground. Getting companies to work together, collaborate, and change laws is really part of our initiative. And we're also part of the Human Toxicology Project. And this aims to replace animal testing by focusing on understanding human health and biology. And actually, large companies like L'Oreal, like Procter & Gamble, and Unilever are also part of this consortium. We're making real progress in convincing governments to replace outdated and cruel animal tests with modern alternatives, actually. Mm-hmm. And actually, one of our latest examples is that we've convinced European authorities to adopt alternative chemical tests into law that could really save 2.6 million animals from poisoning experiments. Other ways in which we work with companies is by pushing alternative testing and, of course, the thousands of safe ingredients that already exist. And, you know, another key aspect is also every action counts, and so consumer awareness is important. As long as we keep making cruelty-free choices while purchasing cosmetics, we create pressure on companies to follow consumer demand. And we can all do this by consulting, again, the Leaping Bunny Guide next time we go shopping.
Yeah, so I want to talk about that a little bit later, but just back on the companies, do you find that they're becoming more amenable to change their methods when there's no legal requirement? Is it better on a budgetary level, for example? Is it cheaper to do? I'm just trying to think of reasons that on a business level, why businesses, companies would immediately want to switch over. Maybe they are putting a check on their morals and values as well that they want to uphold as a company. How do you think that, like, are they starting to really open their minds towards this new way of thinking?
Yeah, well, definitely. I think that companies are starting to see that alternatives are cheaper and more reliable. Therefore, it makes good sense to do so, you know, to move in that direction. And again, like I said, our initiative is really working together with companies, collaborating and changing laws. So, and finding common ground, really.
And then you were talking about the Leaping Bunny symbol, which hopefully our listeners are familiar with. Now, I've sort of delved into the world of cosmetics only in the last year, and I'm sort of like, I'm 39 now, and it never really interested
That's
me
great.
Before, but like cosmetics as a whole. So, and then I was thinking, well, I'm vegan, like I need to make ethical choices about what I'm choosing, right? And then I actually did an interview earlier this year with an expert on what all the vegan cosmetics are, but more so in Canada, like I'm finding that, like I went to the Body Shop, for example, a couple weeks ago, and they're saying, oh, all our cosmetics are cruelty free, but some of them do have animal products in them. So there's a sort of disparity there between what, and then I said, well, are they labeled? No, they're not labeled if they're vegan. Like, so what common ground can we find with labels? Not everyone's got the Leaping Bunny. I noticed some of them say cruelty free on the bottom. What's your advice for what to look out for when you're looking for cruelty-free cosmetics?
Okay, well, cruelty-free, for example, cruelty-free really means when the finished product isn't tested on animals and the ingredients that make up the product aren't tested at any level, mm-hmm. whether it's the company or the third-party supplier or any lab. And so the other thing about the Leaping Bunny list is that, or the Leaping Bunny Guide, is that not everyone is listed. Everyone who is obviously part of the Leaping Bunny Guide is listed on the guide, but people may not have the logo on their product itself, and therefore it's really important to check the Leaping Bunny Guide. And I would say any company in the world that's part of that guide is your safest bet. For example, a cruelty-free cosmetics company is one that has eliminated testing at all levels of production. And in order to meet its commitment to cruelty-free, a company must not sell its products in countries that require animal testing, like China. It must not use new ingredients that would lead to new animal testing, and it must ensure that all of its ingredient suppliers commit to a policy of no new cosmetics animal testing. So as long as you stick by the Leaping Bunny Guide, that is your best bet, I think.
Okay, well, thanks. And we have one more question from our co-host, Farah, here. Go for it, Farah.
Yeah, you know, I think you've answered my question. I guess what I want to ask is, for people who are listening, who are ethical vegans or aspire to be, is it really the Leaping Bunny Guide that you want to direct them to? Or are there other things that they can do if they really believe strongly in this issue and want to move in the direction of, you know, a world where our cosmetic industry is not based on animal cruelty?
Yeah, well, of course. I think that, like I mentioned earlier, public support is really, really important. So as long as the government sees that its people want this change, then it will work to enforce it, work towards that. The other thing is putting the pressure on the companies themselves. If you have a favorite brand and you're not sure about their animal testing policy, one of the things you can do is contact your favorite brand and urge them to make the leap to cruelty-free. You can ask whether they animal test, whether they perform animal tests on their products or ingredients, purchase newly developed ingredients that have been animal tested by the supplier, or sell its products to countries like China that may require new animal testing. If the answer is yes to any of these questions, then put the product back on the shelf. That's the safest right now.
Right. And can you just tell us a little bit about the pledge that you have online, too, and what that means and how people can support that by signing the pledge?
Yes, definitely. Another way that, yeah, you can help to show your support is by actually visiting becruelty-free.ca and sign the petition to show your support. Take action by signing the petition to show your support for a Canadian ban on animal testing for cosmetics and cosmetic products and their ingredients in Canada.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Aviva, to speak to us about the Be Cruelty-Free campaign to end animal testing for cosmetics in Canada. To find out more about this campaign and to sign the pledge to be cruelty-free, you can go to hsi.org, or there is also a direct link to all of this info on our website for today's show at animalvoices.org. Thanks again, Aviva, and have a great day.
Thank you very much.
And you have been listening to the Animal Voices show on 100.5 FM CFRO on Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, Canada. On next week's show, Alyssa and Tim are not back yet, but I think Alyssa's going to be producing a feminist show that I believe she's going to be pre-recording for us to play on the air next week. And she and Tim are still on their journeys and travels and adventures in Germany and the rest of Europe, and they're coming back soon. So that's going to be awesome. But please do stay tuned for that. That'll be next week on next week's show. And if you want to send us a shout and let us know how we're doing, we always like to hear comments and feedback. And like we mentioned before, if you have events or any news stories or any ideas that you want us to publish and or air on the show, please do send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. You can also write a note on our Facebook page, which is Animal Voices Vancouver. You can send us a tweet at Animal Voices YVR. And most importantly, to listen to all of our past podcasts of all of our shows, they can be listened to on iTunes, although I believe it only does the last 50, and we have way more shows than that. So go to animalvoices.org to listen to all of our shows. We have a lot of great content there. And basically, if you type in the search bar anything that you might be interested in, so for example, animal testing or sanctuaries, or what would be another one, Amir?
Vegan food, maybe?
Vegan food, exactly.
Cetaceans in captivity?
Yep, yeah, marine captivity. We've got quite a few shows on that. That's a great way just to really get informed on the issues, because we really have some of the leading experts in the world and in our communities coming on the show to speak about these issues. So we are going to be closing the show. Remember the vegan music video project that we're all going to be a part of, right? So we're listening to I Don't Eat Meat Anymore. It's the new vegan dance hit by Emily Grove. It's sung by her and produced by Jonathan Skinner. This is a song, of course, that we spoke about at the beginning of the show, whose music video you can be a part of. If you like the song, then go onto our website, animalvoices.org, and you can find the link there that's got the Facebook event on it for this project, and it'll give you all the info there on how to be a part of it. Please stay tuned for Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith, and remember to be kind to the animals.
I don't want it, take it, I know I've said it before, I can't hide it, fake it, I don't eat meat anymore. for me.